The reading today is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 to 21, which is on page 637 of the Church Bible. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for attaining wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you give to each one of us a heart that is receptive to your words of wisdom here in Proverbs. Help us to hear and to understand and to find life with you. Life now in its fullness and eternal life. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you were with us last week, we were encouraged by this call of Proverbs. Seek wisdom in the fear of the Lord. This is the way to have a fruitful life in this world. But today we're going to see that wisdom has a rival, a beguiling alternative that also promises rewards quickly and more easily. Wisdom in this section of Proverbs is pictured as a prudent teaching of your father or mother. But its rival is the exciting life offered by the cool kids. And this, you see, is one of the big problems we face when it comes to wisdom. The wise way of life often seems dull or boring or cautious in comparison with the excitement of the enticing alternative. So the aim today is to unmask wisdom's rival and show that it is absolute foolishness. But at the same time, we also want to unmask wisdom and see that it is far more wonderful, far more glorious than we have ever imagined. So here are the two main things we're going to look at today. Beware being enticed away from wisdom, and be convinced of the unsurpassed blessing of wisdom. Just before we look at the first of these, a quick reminder of where we are in the book of Proverbs. After a short introduction last time, this whole section, chapters 1 to 9, are a series of speeches and poems urging us to seek wisdom and to avoid foolishness. We're looking at the first three chapters today, and we're going to look at a speech from chapter 1 and then a poem that we had read from chapter 3. So have a look at chapter 1, verse 8. And it starts like this. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head. That was a symbol of honor. And a chain to adorn your neck. That was a symbol of life. The style of this book of Proverbs we're going to see throughout is that of the parents giving wise advice to their son. A son, because he's on the verge of taking up the spiritual leadership of his own family. Old and New Testaments both teach that in the family, the husband should normally take the spiritual lead. But don't think that this limits the Proverbs. You'll soon see how diverse their themes are. It's for old and young, male and female, the simple and the wise. And the New Testament applies them to us all. For instance, in Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says, "Have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you all as sons?" And he quotes from the Father's speech and says it applies to us all. So Proverbs is for all of us. So let's listen to the first speech. I'm going to read a bit more from verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us,' let's lie in wait for someone's blood. Let's waylay some harmless soul. Let's swallow them alive like the grave and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us and we will share a common purse." Now, the temptation to join a criminal gang is an extreme example, isn't it? But at least it helps us to see the ugliness and the wickedness of sin. But the important thing for us in this room and watching online is that it shows us how temptation operates. I wonder, did you notice the two main enticements that they offer? Did you spot them? Well, first, there's the attraction of being in the gang. Verse 11, "Come along with us." Verse 14, "Throw in your lot with us." The power of belonging to the group is a very strong one. In Harpenden, where I grew up, there's a bench on the high street. It's a round bench that goes around the trunk of a tree. And back in the day, that was the place where all the cool and naughty teenagers used to hang out. And I can remember my sister and I used to sort of walk along and have a glance at this bench, and we used to sort of joke about it. But secretly, we would have loved to have been invited to join that gang. Adults too, you know the attraction of the in crowd, such as being in the inner ring at work, the people who really matter, who really shape the workplace. C.S. Lewis, in his essay, The Inner Ring, puts it wonderfully, "I believe that in all men's lives at certain periods, and in many men's lives at all periods between infancy and extreme old age, one of the most dominant elements is the desire to be inside the local inner ring and the terror of being left outside." I wonder if you can identify with that. Being in a group is, of course, not a bad thing in itself, but the desire to be in it can be very dangerous. Listen to him again. He goes on, "Of all the passions, the passion for the inner ring is the most skillful in making a man who is not yet a very bad man do very bad things." Cherry's dad was a minister, and he once did a home visit to a man in his late 90s, and he asked him, "What's the best thing about being your age?" And he replied, "No peer pressure." The attraction of being in the group. A very strong one. That's the first way this temptation operates. But the second one here is the promise of immediate rewards. Wealth, verse 13, filling your house with great stuff. Power, verse 12. Here it's this terrifying power that will swallow up some hapless victim. Being in this gang will make you feel superior towards those who are not in the gang. And verse 14, a share in the common purse, meaning that, of course, this is better than you could have if you were left by yourself. Now, there's a similarity between the rewards here and the rewards of wisdom. But there are two big and really important differences. First, wisdom teaches that its rewards take time. It's about delayed gratification, whereas sin promises the quick and easy route. Secondly, wisdom is about, as we heard last time, doing what is right and just and fair. But sin offers an illicit route outside of what is right and just and fair. Now, this should set the alarm bells ringing. But listen to the father's rebuttal, verse 15. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set your foot on their paths. For their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed blood. How useless to spread a net in full view of all the birds. These men lie in wait for their own blood. They waylay only themselves. So here's the key bit of advice. Do not set foot on their paths. The best way to respond to the enticements of sin is to say no straight away. The further you go down the path, the harder it is to say no. I wonder, have you noticed this in your experience? It just gets harder and harder to get out of a situation. For instance, once you join in with the gossiping group of people, say at work, it's really hard to step out of it. Or an innocent drink with your colleagues after work. It can so easily spiral into one too many and disaster. This pathway is like a downward escalator. It's very hard to run back up it. Now, last week, I quoted Yoda. Going to do it again. Someone last week told me they were disappointed that I didn't try to do it in Yoda's voice. Let's have a go. Perhaps a little bit of water first, because you know what he's like.
If once you start down the dark path, forever will it dominate your destiny. Consume it. Consume you, it will.
Okay. Space to laugh a bit. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Perhaps, it's interesting, isn't it, that Yoda's comments seem to fit with Proverbs. Perhaps there'll be more in future weeks. Who knows? But you see, heading down this path, it just gets worse. Look at verse 16. This gang rushes into sin. Now, I'm sure they didn't do that at first, but it's become compulsive. That's what happens. Addictive. But their end, it's what happens to them in the end that shows the complete foolishness of it. Verse 17, how useless it is to spread a net in full view of the birds. This is a picture of foolishness. The birds can see the trap and they won't get caught. But these criminals are more foolish than birds. They are setting a trap. And verse 18, they're getting caught in their own nets. And so, we get the final lesson for all of us. Such is the end of all who go after ill-gotten gain. It takes away the lives of those who get it. Sin is anti-God. It's antisocial. And it's also anti-self. Being enticed away from wisdom leads to self-destruction. I was chatting to some people yesterday at a wake about how the news is just full of Boris Johnson, Novak Djokovic, and Prince Andrew. Now, whatever you think about the morality of what may or may not have been done in each of these cases, there are certainly object lessons about making foolish decisions and what comes of it in the end. Whatever he did or didn't do, Prince Andrew was enticed into the company of some bad people who, it appears, were swallowing up the lives of young girls. And now he's facing disaster. How much better is his mother's teaching? Beware of being enticed away from wisdom because it leads to self-destruction. As I said last time, Proverbs deals in probabilities rather than promises, the general rule rather than the exceptions in this life. But in the end, and in eternity, to depart from wisdom will lead to eternal self-destruction. Now, I don't know about where you are most tempted at the moment. I am sure it won't be as blatant as joining a criminal gang. But who in your life is saying, come and join with us? And you know deep down that it won't lead to good. Or when do you think, oh, just a little bending of the rules. I deserve a bit of pleasure. I try so hard to be good all the rest of the time. Or when do you have this thought, everyone at work does it. You have to do it if you want to get on. Beware being enticed away from wisdom because it leads to self-destruction. That's the first thing. But secondly, be convinced of the unsurpassed blessings of wisdom. Well, I hope we've seen behind the mask of sin. But we also need to see behind the mask of wisdom and be convinced it is worth living for. Last week, we likened it to the many colours of the rainbow. Beautiful. About understanding, prudence, shrewdness, skillful living in this world. But can it compare to the attractions, the enticements of the exciting life of sin? Well, turn to our reading that Lucy read from chapter 3. And this is sometimes called the hymn to wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 13. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Why? Because, verse 14, she, wisdom, is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. This is the language of trade and investment. Precious metals are sound investments even today, and especially during an economic downturn. Their value is enduring. But Proverbs reminds us of the limitations of these things. Silver and gold can put food on the table, but they can't buy true fellowship. Proverbs 15, verse 17 says, better a small serving of vegetables with love than a fattened calf with hatred. Or look at verse 15. Wisdom is more precious than rubies. Now, rubies may give your wife, if you have one, a beautiful outfit, but they won't give her the love she desires. And of course, jewels can be stolen. Diamonds are not forever. But verse 15 says, nothing you desire can compare with wisdom. It is far superior. And so this is the thing we need to grasp. Why is wisdom so much better than the best material possessions? Well, it gives so much more. Verse 16, long life is in her right hand. Modern health epidemiological studies show that wise living lengthens your life expectancy. Even prayer, having a committed faith, being part of a religious community has measurable physical and mental health benefits. And in her left hand, wisdom gives riches. Yes, she gives that too. Wealth is a good gift. But she also gives honor. The Hebrew word for that is literally weight. It's a great word. You could say that wisdom gives you gravitas. It does, indeed. Proverbs 22, verse 4, the reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Seek wisdom first. And Proverbs teaches that the general rule, the probability is that these other blessings will also follow. Think of Solomon. We thought of him last time, and he asked God for wisdom and understanding. And God also gave him wealth and long life and honor. He is a good object lesson for us, at least in the early part of his life. And then there's verse 17. Wisdom's way is described as pleasant. It's the way of true happiness. Don't we long for true happiness? It's also the way of peace. It is good for all the relationships that we are in. Good for other people. Wisdom is wonderful. But the greatest blessing of all is even more, and it's in verse 18. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Where in the Bible have you heard of the tree of life before? Genesis, yeah? But also last term we saw that the tree of life is in the new creation, in Revelation. Eating its fruit stands for eternal life, immortality. Now, in the Old Testament times, in the Old Covenant, the blessings of that covenant were primarily about having life in the Promised Land. And the Promised Land of Israel back then was meant to be a little picture of heaven. But nevertheless, they did have a small and growing hope of life beyond the grave. For instance, Proverbs 12, 28, in the path of righteousness is life. And in its pathway, there is no death. Remember, back in Genesis, Adam and Eve were tempted to seek wisdom without God. Remember, Eve looked at the fruit and it looked that it would give you wisdom. But only God has the right to determine the knowledge of good and evil. And so humanity, having tried to grab it, was cut off from God. And cut off from the tree of life. But now we can come back and receive God's words of life by faith. And back in Solomon's day, you could hold fast to the life-giving words of wisdom and have the hope of eternal life. But we have got even more than they had because we have Jesus. And Jesus, do you remember, taught one greater than Solomon is here. Or Paul put it like this, writing to the Colossians, he said this about Jesus, "My goal is that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Jesus is the personification and the fulfillment of wisdom. So this wonderful hymn of wisdom here in chapter 3, we can sing it as Christian believers today and fill it with even more meaning because we sing about wisdom perfectly displayed in Christ Jesus. He is the one who is more profitable than anything else in all the world and who gives eternal life. And finally, verse 19 and 20 also point to this great fulfillment too. They show how the Lord used wisdom in creating the world. It has its origin in God's mind and it's his tool of creation and sustaining the world. When he created the earth, the heavens, and broke the ocean deeps, he used wisdom. As he daily provides the dew, he uses wisdom. And it says here that he firmly established everything. It should be no surprise then that the wisdom that gave us a lasting world can give to us everlasting life. Be convinced of the unsurpassed blessings of wisdom because it leads to life and life eternal. So wisdom is far, far greater, far more magnificent than we have ever imagined. If our minds are filled with the wonder of this hymn to wisdom, how can we ever think it's boring? How can we ever think it is out of date, restrictive parental advice? With its fulfillment in Christ, it is the best thing that there is in all of creation and forever. So beware, being enticed away from wisdom because it leads to self-destruction. And be convinced of the unsurpassed blessing of wisdom because it leads to life. Life here, but also life eternal. Let's pray, shall we? She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you've taught us today. Please help us to beware of the enticements of sin. And please fill our hearts and our minds with wonder at the beauty and the rewards of seeking wisdom, especially wisdom in Christ. Lord, we pray this for your glory, for our good, and the good of our friends and families. In Jesus' name, amen.